Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. Simply pour a can in your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit seafoamworks.com to learn more. Many of you know Axis deer is considered to be the best tasting venison on the planet. I've been hearing that for years. And that those deer cause some ecological harm. Well, Maui Nui Venison is bringing those Axis deer to the market, so you can get some fresh cuts and sticks shipped to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's MauiNuiVenison.com. Use promo code MEATEATER for 20% off your order.
It's a Meat-Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat-Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by special guest Dustin Huff, who killed the biggest whitetail buck in America, and Mark Kenyon, who did not.
You're really proud of that line, aren't you? Very proud of that.
He was laying in bed a couple nights ago. You woke up. I got it.
Just started laughing.
I got it.
Dustin and Mark, welcome to the show. In addition to those folks, we got Steve, Hayden, Cal, Brody, Corinne, and Giannis. Dustin and Mark, how you guys feel about trivia?
I'm fired up about it.
Yeah?
I'm ready.
Yeah. I got an announcement to make.
Yeah, let's hear it.
From now on, instead of talking about how many times someone won, it's your batting average, your percentage. So it's blank at blank percent. So it's like how many, you know what I'm saying? The percentage of times you've played
then
you've won. What am I trying to say?
Yeah.
Batting average.
Yeah, the success percent. Rate. What's your success rate? Your success rate.
There you go.
Because the way you're doing it is stupid.
Well, you're really not gonna like.
Remember, like Clay played one time, but he got a win. So you're like, Clay won once. Well, it's like doesn't tell the full story because Clay's 100%.
I think folks.
Yeah, but
recognize.
You also need like a pool to draw on. Like if you only play one time, that's not really.
Yeah, it's
a full
not.
Story.
You're right. It's not percent. It's one for blank.
There you go.
Because that way people can go like, okay, he had a lucky day.
Yeah.
But like when it's me, it'd be like he's like 90 for 100.
Wow.
Or whatever I'm at, then that like really tells a story.
Just got to do Vegas odds for...
That's my announcement. Go on.
Now, if you're not familiar, this is a 10-round quiz show with questions born out of Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking. And there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. And here's Steve's favorite part. Steve has won 5 times. Brody's won 4. Giannis has won 2. Clay, Seth, Corinne, and Chester have each won once.
But Corinne didn't win once. That was a cheat. That was the April Fool's Day joke.
Listen, I gave you both a victory, and I'm maintaining that. I feel strongly that Corinne gets a victory.
Well, okay, Steve and I are just going to start cheating.
But you should say, like, you could be like, because you haven't implemented my thing, you could be like, and Dustin's never won.
Can I Google the answers?
No, you can't do anything like that.
Oh, shoot.
Dustin's never won.
Dustin's never won. Now we have 2 surprises to announce before we get to trivia. Here's the first one. Phil, you got a drum roll over there?
It'll be in the show.
All right. Drum roll happen. Meat Eater Trivia is going to become a weekly podcast.
Woo!
So what's that mean? Every Wednesday going forward until I run out of trivia questions, we are going to be releasing new episodes of Meat Eater Trivia right here on the Meat Eater podcast feed, and I'm absolutely thrilled about it. I love hosting these and coming up with questions, but To make these episodes great on a weekly basis, I'm going to need a lot of help from listeners. So here's my plea. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. Every email you guys send is much appreciated.
Yeah, I'll point out that now that it's weekly and it's going to occur when I'm not there, I have been sending Spencer great questions for when I'm not in the room.
Yeah,
so other players in the room here can say, hey, when I'm not around, here's a doozy.
That's right. We will even...
And I sent gold.
We'll even acknowledge when we get a Steve question. So first announcement, Meat Eater Trivia happening weekly. Here's the second announcement. And this is a surprise that no one in the room knows except for me. Sitting in front of Brody on the podcast table under a blanket is a giant object that we're about to reveal. You guys have any guesses as to what it might be?
Picture of the Huff Buck.
Oh, I like that. Nothing? Nothing else?
Is it something we talked about in the past?
Well, no. It's gotta have something to do with Meat Eater Trivia. So think
is it a trophy?
Game show accessory is what I'm gonna go with. Am I close?
It's a scoreboard.
A carving.
We're on the right track. Hit us with another drum roll, Phil. We got two of them. All right, reveal for us, Brody, what we have.
Don't break it.
This is a custom Meat Eater Trivia trophy.
Oh, look at that. Game on, suckers.
Now, it was built by podcast listener Ed Newman.
Ed's never won.
0% for 3, 4.
Wow.
4 times.
This was built by podcast listener Ed Newman. Ed is the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics coordinator and engineering design and development master teacher at Belleville High School in Wisconsin. Ed created this trophy with the help of some students in one of the manufacturing classes he teaches. Here is Ed to tell us more about that process.
A few months back, I was listening to Meat Eater Trivia with my son when I thought that you mugs needed a trophy. So I sent a message to Spencer, and he told me he loved the idea, and we began the collaborative secret project immediately. The process for creating the trophy started by using a live-edge slab of hemlock that was harvested from a buddy's property in northern Wisconsin. On the front of the trophy, you'll find an updated scoreboard for each member of the crew. The back of the trophy has a list of conservation organizations that you may choose to donate to. The base of the trophy has the Meat Eater's four pillars, and the bottom of the trophy has a message from me to the crew, as well as the latitude and longitude of where the tree came from. Pockets on the trophy were cut with a CNC router making chips at 20,000 revolutions per minute. The orange Game On, suckers, is an epoxy inlay that I did by hand. All other texts and graphics were engraved or cut using a laser engraver. Some of my current students got in on the fun and helped with laser engraving, installing magnets, and post-production work on game pieces. I've also videoed the entire process so that future classes can see how many steps go into finishing a major project like this. After 2 full months of working on the trophy, it was ready to travel from Wisconsin to Montana. Now, I've worked on a lot of projects, but nothing like this. I was a touch emotional packaging up the trophy, and I have felt some separation anxiety since. Thank you, Meat Eater crew, for having me be part of the show. You have no idea how much this has meant to me.
All right.
No, thank you, Ed.
That is awesome. Thank
for this
you.
Amazing gift.
I do have one question.
Why does Yanni get like a
exactly.
large badge?
So, at the top of our trophy.
Wait.
If you want to see the trophy, go to Instagram. Check out @SpencerNewArthur, @MeatEater. We'll post pictures of it there. At the very top of the trophy, there is a little game piece that says Giannis Poutelis and has a big old eagle on it. That is because Giannis was the last winner of Meat Eater Trivia. But every name that's on the trophy also has a game piece that you guys helped me pick out without even knowing. And whenever we have
nice.
A new winner, they will get to fly their flag on the trophy
nice.
Until they are unseated.
I got a mountain goat.
Very nice.
I got a mink.
This is like that fantastical.
I think I picked. Did I pick a mink or an otter?
You picked a mink.
That's a mink.
A little mink.
He's burly.
He's been eating good.
So after this game of trivia, if Giannis loses, we will replace that game piece with someone else's so that everybody who sees the trophy knows who is the reigning champion.
Oh, there's even one for, Brody. Is that the Huff Buck on yours?
No, man, that's the Ranella Buck.
Oh, it is. You see it. Yeah, that's him.
But there's one for the trivia guest.
We have never had a trivia guest winner.
Yeah, if you win, Bigfoot. Dustin, you get to proudly place Bigfoot up
there. But we're ready just in case.
If next year when he gets a new class in, he might consider a thing like that shows how many times they've played. I love it.
Tally marks.
Yeah. That's what we'll do. Hash marks.
It could just be better.
That's a great idea. Hash marks.
Now, let me try to describe the size of Ed's trophy. This thing is heavier than Pete Alonso's home run derby trophy, taller than Bo Jackson's Heisman trophy, and wider than all of Luke Combs' CMA awards. So all this is to say is that this is a damn big trophy and a real work of art. Now, if you want your own custom trophy, you can contact Ed, whose email address we'll put in the description of this episode. Ed is the advisor for Wildcat Manufacturing, which is the school student-run business. They will open up shop this fall and plan on selling steel fire pits, cocktail smokers, custom signs, laser engraved trophy plaques, cribbage boards, candy machines, bottle openers, fire claws, and more. Ed actually sent me one of their cocktail smokers and turkey plaques, and both are phenomenal. If you have any custom creations you need done, I can't recommend Ed and Wildcat Manufacturing enough. Ed is awesome to work with. Their products are impeccably made, and you're supporting a good cause by doing business with a student-run business.
Jeez.
Well done.
Bravo.
Nice job, Spencer.
That's awesome.
Now, we also need to shout out to Hunter Spencer here. I brought him in to help with some text stuff, but it ended up being that Hunter almost designed the whole trophy and then Ed executed it. So well done to Hunter and Ed. Now, Corinne, on your game piece, did you see what that is?
It's a deary call.
It's a what?
It's a deary call. It's the bird from Harry Potter.
That's right. That's what Corinne requested for her game piece. Instead, we gave her the dodo bird, which is what the deer claw is based off of. All right, we are now on to Meat Eater Trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Question one, the topic is cooking. This first great question comes to us via Peyton Snyder. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. And as always, this first question will be multiple choice. Which of these wild meats is highest in calories? Is it squirrel, black bear, bluegill, or moose? Again, which of these wild meats is highest in calories? Squirrel, black bear, bluegill, or moose?
Do you mean like flesh or an average cut that would include fat?
This is what the USDA has to say. So however they grade their nutritional value. Didn't like that one?
No, I like it.
Does everybody have an answer?
Yes.
Grin, scribbling. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying bear, Hayden saying bear.
No, how do you know he's not saying bluegill? What the hell's B mean?
It's multiple choice, A, B, C, D.
Going forward, we're going to write out the whole word. Cal saying bluegill, Dustin saying bear, Brody saying bear, Corinne saying moose, Mark saying bear, and Giannis saying squirrel. The correct answer is black bear.
Ah!
That's right.
According to the USDA, raw black bear meat has 161 calories per 3.5-ounce serving.
How could you guys not put that together? It's like they got a ton of fat.
Yeah.
So does a squirrel, Steve.
No, it doesn't. You ever hear of being starving, like rabbit starvation? There's a term for it. What is the term?
Yeah, that's right.
It's how you can starve to death eating rabbits?
Yeah, rabbit wasn't on there. It was
squirrel.
It's
like flesh like a rabbit, though.
Go on. Squirrel comes in at 120 calories.
Oh, so squirrel was number two. So
moose at 103, and bluegill at 89.
Squirrel scores better than moose.
It does.
Now, I've skinned a shitload of black bears, and I'll tell you, not every black bear is fat.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean,
fatter than a bluegill.
All I'm saying is I got it right.
All right. Carnivore diet, fish flesh has a super high fat to protein ratio.
What'd you put down?
Bluegill.
The room did pretty well.
Super subjective.
Oh, so,
that's true.
Steve is just smitten over there.
Oh, man.
After one.
I feel like going and getting them back with badass boots and pulling them boots on, man.
We're on to question two. The topic is fishing. In 1998, Congress voted to make this body of water the sixth Great Lake, but the status was removed 18 days later after a nationwide uproar. In 1998, Congress voted to make this body of water the sixth Great Lake, but the status was removed 18 days later after a nationwide uproar.
Well, if it ain't multiple choice, I ain't got a prayer.
There are five Great Lakes, but at one time, for 18 days, there were six.
I think I got it, Spencer.
I think you got it, but you didn't get it.
Ooh. Oh, that was a good little hint. Let me think.
I would have said that either way, regardless of the question.
Oh, you would? You weren't? That wasn't a hint?
No. Does everybody have an answer?
No.
Well, I'll tell you what it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
So will I.
Again, looking for the sixth Great Lake that existed for 18 days in 1998. Yanni, we're running out of time.
Sorry.
I wonder what the economic benefit to having a body of water called a Great Lake is.
You are setting the table nicely for the follow-up factoid. Thank you, Cal.
I'm ready.
Gonna have you reveal your answers in three, two, one. We have Steve saying Lake St. Clair, Hayden saying Tahoe, Cal without an answer,
nothing.
Dustin without an answer, Brody saying Lake St. Clair, Corinne without an answer, Mark saying Lake St. Clair, Giannis without an answer. Nobody got it correct. The correct answer is Lake Champlain.
Oh,
Lake Champlain.
Oh, why do people have a shit fit about that?
Here's what happened. A routine funding bill was created in 1998 that would provide $300 million to research centers near the Great Lakes. But Vermont Senator Patrick Leahy slipped a sentence into the final bill that also declared Lake Champlain as the sixth Great Lake, and it passed with no one noticing. The New York Times
broke... That is some classic pork barrel. That's what gives pork barrel a bad connotation.
The New York Times broke the story shortly thereafter, bringing national attention to the issue. Predictably, policymakers were furious with Leahy and had Champlain's Great Lake status rescinded just 18 days later.
That's a good little tidbit.
Good question.
I thought the obvious answer that people would move with is Lake of the Woods. I thought maybe folks would
it's
have...
not the Great Lakes.
I thought St. Clair, because it's connected.
Champlain isn't really either. St. Clair was a very good
question.
Answer.
Let's move on. No one got it, so I'm not mad.
I don't know Great Lakes.
No one got it, I'm not mad. So it's like...
We're on to question
you're from a Great
three.
Lake state.
Kind of.
Like Michigan?
Kind
of. A little sliver.
Just a...
The topic is conservation. How many days is the drying period before antlers, horns, or skulls are officially scored by Boone and Crockett or Pope and Young? Dustin, you get this wrong, we're going to throw you out of the room.
I think I might know this one.
Yeah.
Now, are you putting this in the conservation category because you had to say Boone and Crockett or Pope and Young?
Yeah, those are conservation organizations
that
started to track big game antler growth and horn growth, things like that. So yeah, I think it's a conservation question.
I'm with you, Cal. I'm with you. I feel you.
I know it's.
I feel you, but it's like this is a criticism I brought up 100 times. I gave up.
Listen, if we're gonna make a board game that has 3,000 questions, this has got these.
I don't have a problem with this
included.
One, Spencer. I
All
think
right,
you're
thank
right
you,
in.
Bro.
I love this.
My
one.
Issue.
Does everybody have an answer?
Yeah, I got it.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying 120, Hayden saying 60, Cal saying 100, Dustin saying 60, Brody saying 60, Corinne saying 60, Mark saying 60, Giannis saying 60. The correct answer is 60.
I don't think that's long enough.
No, let him go 3 years.
I think it should be 120. I was putting out what it should be.
Now, this rule also applies to deadheads. One of the most extreme examples is a dead bighorn sheep that was found in an Alberta snowdrift in 2014. It originally green scored at over 209 inches, which at the time would have made it the world record. But after the 60-day drying period, it shrank 4 inches and caused it to fall to sixth in the record books.
Wow. That's really something.
So that's why this exists.
Why do they attribute, why did it...
It was in a snowbank, and they said it had so much moisture in it that the 60 days
swelled.
Dried it out.
Like, is it like the circumference? I wonder what measurements shrink the most.
I imagine it's not getting longer. It's probably just losing mass.
Yeah. What'd you have, Brody?
60.
Son of a...
Now, Dustin, did your deer shrink at all after the 60 days?
Mm-mm.
Not an inch.
Nope.
That's great.
Well, a lot of guys tell me what you do is you age them in a bucket of
That's
water.
That's right.
Oh, but there are very specific rules about it has to be like at room temperature. It has to be in a dry environment. Folks are very passionate about making sure that standard is met.
Yep.
Did anybody like give you a hard time about that?
Mm-mm.
And so you just like stored it right in your living room or what?
I just had it in the barn.
Yeah. In the barn.
Yeah, I just had it in the barn.
That's
locked
awesome.
Up, had it locked up in the barn.
You didn't try gluing a couple more tines on there?
I should have tried, I guess. Or knock that little kicker off. Knock the little kicker off.
Were you nervous for that 60 days?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was. That's all I was thinking about.
Spencer, I just learned that a buddy of mine is the new world record Sitka blacktail deer holder.
Oh, that's cool.
And that happened. And he shot the deer, left it with his friend in Alaska. About 10 years later, his buddy's like, I'm going to get this scored. And he just found out that he is the world record non-typical Sitka blacktail deer.
But I'm only impressed if he didn't shoot it on Kodiak.
I want to say he was on Sitka. It's a non-typical. And the bases on it are like as round, a big round as this microphone, like 5-inch base.
You gonna write an article about that one, Spencer?
I don't know. I like the idea that he did the 3,000-day drying period, though. Yeah, that thing was bone dry. We're on to question four. The topic is biology. This next great question comes to us via Ryan Nicoletti. This is the only person so far that we've used two questions from. Thank you, Ryan. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. Known as the Texas speed bump, this is one of the only animals in the world that carries leprosy. Known as the Texas speed bump, this is one of the only animals in the world that carries leprosy.
You're wrong, Karan.
I remember talking about this in Texas.
Oh.
What's the Harry Potter name?
Hey, did you know the last one, Corinne? Because you were researching the Huffbuck?
Because I talked to Justin.
Oh, you got that right?
It was in the document, Steve.
Oh.
It was on paper.
I had a backup question in case that specific thing came up. We didn't need to use the backup question, but I was prepared, and it never did.
Oh, yeah, I got you.
Does everybody have an answer?
Yeah, I feel pretty good about it. What do you got, Brody?
I got an answer.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying armadillo, 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 armadillo. Everybody got it right. The correct answer is armadillo. Other animals that have been known to carry leprosy include chimpanzees and red squirrels. Although the disease is quite common in armadillos, the CDC says the odds of a human getting it are incredibly low because about 95% of people have natural immunity.
You should have left out the Texas speed bump thing. It's like a cutesy thing. You're like, nah, no shit. It's gonna be an armadillo.
But what do you want me to say? What's one of the only animals in the world that carries leprosy?
Yeah.
But that's like pretty subjective.
Okay, you should have said whatever the hell. I thought of something.
I would have said a tiger or something.
Yeah. Question five. The topic is woodsmanship. We will get a scoreboard update from Phil after this. How many leaves does poison ivy have?
Oh, shoot.
How many leaves does poison ivy have?
Doesn't make any sense.
It absolutely makes sense.
Well.
Like, if you took a poison ivy plant and figured out where its terminus and beginning is and counted how many leaves it had.
It's just the way the question's worded.
It's stupid.
Yeah. You could have framed the question a little better, Spencer. This is the episode where we're just going to pick on Spencer.
Listen, is it like, I know we just announced weekly, but are you running out of good questions?
Oh, no.
Nobody would disagree with this.
Oh, come on, Steve.
I know what you're going at, but it's a stupid question. If I said, how many needles are on my Christmas tree?
Not even close
to
the people same thing.
Do people mean... Do I have to count up every needle on the Christmas tree or have to be like, oh, it's a 3-needle pine. So it's 3 or a 5-needle pine.
You got an answer yet?
Yeah.
Does everybody have an answer?
I guess.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying 3, 3, 3, 3. The whole room got it right. The correct answer is 3.
Still a stupid question.
But they could have 216. Right?
It's a big plan.
Yeah. Who knows? Highly variable.
There's even right. The rhyme. That's,
yeah, whatever it would be, it'd be divisible by 3.
Leaves of 3, let it be. Have you ever heard that one?
No.
Leaves of three, let it be. Now, I am part of the 15% of Americans that are immune to poison ivy. But if you're part of the other 85%, then you should check out Mark Kenyon's 2019 article on themeateater.com called How to Identify, Avoid, and Treat Poison Ivy. It'll tell you everything you need to know about this itchy plant.
Well, the plant's not itchy. I mean, I don't know. Is poison ivy itchy? Like, if you could talk to poison ivy, it would be like, the worst thing about being poison ivy?
Now, Giannis, you just had like a brutal run-in with poison ivy,
constantly.
Right?
Poison oak, yes.
Oh, poison oak. You going to elaborate or no?
Oh, I mean, I could. It was bad. Lasted months.
Don't geneticists think that poison oak and poison ivy are the same? Isn't that a thing, no?
I think it's the same kind of like different oil or whatever.
Yeah.
I thought there was something where they're like phenotypes. I'll have to look it up. Put that in a future question.
Phil, hit us with a scoreboard update.
Third place with 2 points is Cal. Then we have Corinne, Dustin, Giannis, and Steve, all with 3 points in second place. And then in first place, tied for first place, all with 4 points, Brody, Hayden, and Mark.
Oh. Anybody's game.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? And you probably got rain gear, but you shouldn't overlook sunny day gear. Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite Hoodie has you covered on the sunniest day. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite Hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50, and it has airflow, so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head on over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all of their performance fishing gear. O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there because they're great and they're super friendly and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. Hey man, after years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if you've learned anything, it's that there is always a catch. So, when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, well, what's the catch? But it turns out there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/meateater. That's mintmobile.com/meateater. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/meateater.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
We're on to question 6. The topic is public lands. This next great question comes to us via Michael Patak If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. What type of federal public land has the most visitors per year? I'll give you a hint. It's not the National Park Service. What type of federal public land has the most visitors per year? And the answer is not the National Park Service.
You got to run that TikTok noise for a long time, so I got to think this through.
Is this total number of visitors?
Yeah, what would be the other option?
I don't know.
Option?
Like,
children count the same as adults.
No, I'm just...
But it's like...
You could do, like, number of days.
I wish I could take Spencer outside and ask him a couple questions, because...
Well, I know, because the Park Service...
Yeah, they manage the blank.
Yeah.
I think that would mean that it's part of the National Park Service, though. I don't think you can call that separate.
I'm not going to say anymore.
There might be a real problem.
I will tell you
the answer, and I am going to have an absolute shit fit.
The answer is not the National Park Service. What type of federal public land has the most visitors?
I'm
going to
have an absolute shit fit.
Does everybody have an answer?
Yes.
Wait, no.
Hayden, you're running out of time.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying the National... What do you got here? Monument National Forest?
Oh, no, that was my answer. No. This.
National Forest. Hayden saying BLM. Cal saying USDA. Dustin saying state. Brody saying National Forest. Corinne saying National Forest. Mark saying National Forest. Giannis saying BLM. The correct answer is Army Corps of Engineers, which nobody got.
Because they drive over the bridges?
Well, the reservoirs, I suppose. The Army Corps of Engineers, who manages many of America's major water bodies, has about 370 million visitors per year. That's followed by the National Park Service at 331 million, U.S. Forest Service at 148 million, and BOR at 90 million.
Do you know what I was going to have a shit fit about?
If it was like refuges or something?
If you were going to say monuments.
It was not.
Because those are administered by mostly Park Service.
Again, Army Corps of Engineers.
It's a great question.
No one got it right.
It's the first good question of the day.
We're on to question 7. The topic is hunting.
It was a phenomenal question.
Now, I know you're not going to like this one. The Outdoor Channel acquired the rerun rights to Duck Dynasty in 2016. What network did it originally air on before that? The Outdoor Channel acquired the rerun rights to Duck Dynasty in 2016. What network did it originally air on before that?
Oh, I cockily... wrote my answer down.
Does everybody have an answer?
No. TV question?
I think I got it too.
Is there like a specific amount of time you're allowed? Or you just go by feel?
Just feel.
When the
I think
time
that's
is
Steve
right.
saying, hurry up. Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying A and E, Hayden saying E. Cal saying, what are we saying, Cal?
ESPN.
Dustin saying A&E. Brody saying the History Channel. Corinne saying TLC. Mark saying Travel Channel. And Giannis saying A&E.
What Brody put? Oh, sweet.
Well, the correct answer is A&E.
That's all right. We're tied now.
Yeah, well, that's where I want to be.
Duck Dynasty aired on A&E for 11 seasons between 2012 and 2017. The season 2 finale was a Christmas special that became the most watched A&E episode in network history, a record the show ended up breaking 3 more times.
I saw one episode while I was sick in a hotel room in Vegas during SHOT Show, and Phil described this.
Phil the engineer?
No, Phil Robertson described a dispute he was having with his neighbor over a barking dog. And his
whose dog was barking?
Phil's dog.
Okay.
And his explanation was just that the dog was happy to be an American living in America. Oh. And I thought that was great. And I never watched another episode.
But the show didn't have anything to do with hunting.
They didn't like show guys shooting ducks.
It was kind of like a soap opera, wasn't it?
It was a spinoff off of Duck Commander, which
very
then became
vague connection
Strut
to the
Commander
hunting category.
And Buck Commander. We'll get another scoreboard update after this. The topic is cooking. The World Champion Squirrel Cook-Off is held every year in what state?
Oh, my.
The World Champion Squirrel Cook-Off is held every year in what state?
We've even been invited.
Yep.
I'm just going to guess. Ain't got a clue. Can we get a multiple choice?
Yeah. Yeah, 50 choices.
Yeah.
Hawaii.
Alaska.
Again, the World Champion Squirrel Cook-Off is held every year in what state? Does everybody have an answer?
No.
Put a state.
Do you know it, Brody?
I don't. Like, I yeah. We'll see.
Oh, me and you are close.
Yanni?
I was going to say that, too.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Son of a bitch. I even had, like, T-shirt about it.
Everybody reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Missouri. Hayden saying Missouri. Cal saying Virginia. Dustin saying Arkansas. Brody saying Mississippi. Corinne saying Arkansas. Mark saying Missouri. Giannis saying Mississippi. We do have a right answer in the room. It is Arkansas.
Oh, Dustin coming in on the scorecard.
Let's go.
Our very own Clay Newcomb covered the competition in 2019. The teams who won first, second, and third were generous enough to share their recipes with Clay, which you can find on themeateater.com. If you want to learn how to make their award-winning squirrel tacos, squirrel dumplings, and squirrel enchiladas, then go to our website and type in winning recipes from the World Champion Squirrel Cook-Off.
Hey, you know when you do like listener feedback and corrections up top?
Mm-hmm.
How come you didn't do where I wrote in about how you pronounce jaguar?
We're backed up on that kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah.
I do pronounce that wrong. I've noticed that.
I say jaguar.
Folks.
Jaguar.
Folks who like talk about sports, it's like very common for someone to say Jacksonville Jaguars. But when you hear it,
that's how I say it.
I'm serious.
Yeah, Jaguars.
Like that. The worst offenders are people who talk about sports and say Jacksonville Jaguars, and have just been exposed to it so much. I can't help it.
It's Jaguar.
That's what I say. Jaguar.
Jaguar.
Phil, hit us with a scoreboard update. We have two questions left.
All right. Everyone is still in it except for Cal. I'm sorry. Oh.
I'm swinging for the fences. That's my guy.
But tied for second place, we have Brody, Corinne, Hayden, Giannis, Mark, and Steven. In first place is Dustin Huff.
Whoa!
With 5 points.
We have never had a trivia guest winner. This might be the first time.
I had 1 out of 50, and I just picked Arkansas.
Two questions left. This is question 9. The topic is conservation. This next great question comes to us via Mike Steffen. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. This animal was removed from the endangered species list in 1987 and can now be hunted in 9 southern states. What is it? This animal was removed from the endangered species list in 1987 and can now be hunted in 9 southern states.
Southern states.
What is it?
9 southern states. I don't know.
Can he be hunted in any northern states?
Not giving any feedback. This animal was removed from the endangered species list in 1987. Can now be hunted in 9 southern states.
I might be having me a shit fit about something in a minute, man. 9 southern states. Not northern states.
I believe I said southern. Southern, yep, I said southern. Southern states.
Those are states where you can't ice fish, Steve.
Does everybody have an answer? You got an answer written down, though?
I got one.
Okay,
right,
we need you to keep up this pace. Yeah. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying, what do we got?
Oh,
cormorant? Hayden saying alligator. Cal saying alligator.
I said a bird.
Dustin saying pheasant. Never said a bird. Brody saying alligator.
I thought you said a bird.
Nowhere did I say a bird.
Oh, I wouldn't put that down.
Nobody said bird.
It's out.
Corinne saying dove. Mark saying sandhill crane. And Giannis saying black bear.
It's this.
The correct answer is the American alligator.
Dude, you said bird.
I never said bird.
Son of a bitch. What'd you write, Brody?
Comes down to the last.
We are down to our last question. Phil, one more scoreboard update.
Let's see. We've got Brody, Dustin, and Hayden now all tied for first with 5 points. And then Corinne, Giannis, and Mark, and Steve with 4.
So if I had listened properly, if I had been listening as intently as I was talking, I'd be tied for first.
That is correct.
That's going to put a big asterisk.
Would be.
The last question, the topic is fishing. This California city has a knot named after it that was invented by offshore tuna anglers who tied it on heavy iron jigs. This California city has a knot named after it that was invented by offshore tuna anglers who tied it on heavy iron jigs.
Has a what named after it?
A knot, like a fishing knot. K-N-O-T.
I'm going to disappoint you.
Oh, give me a second. I know.
Really?
It's like one of two things. I'm pretty sure I'm picking the wrong.
Let's not give any hints. This California city has a knot named after it that was invented by offshore tuna anglers. There's a lot on the line here. We may go to a tiebreaker with like four or five folks.
I got a wicked sunbird and blood knot, California.
Did some unspeakable things there.
Does it work if I just tie the knot?
No. Again, looking for the California city that has this knot named after it. Does everybody have an answer?
Change it.
Is it a California city?
Hey, you can't
be like changing this late in the game. Come on.
The clock's still ticking.
All right, is everybody good? Marcus, you look like you're thinking real hard.
I'm just trying to think of a better answer than what I have.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying, let's see it.
I didn't write it, but I can tie it.
What's your answer?
Palomar.
Steve says Palomar. Hayden says Palomar. Cal saying Palomar. Dustin saying Sacramento. Brody saying Santa Barbara. Corinne saying Malibu. Mark saying San Diego. And Giannis saying San Diego. We do have a correct answer in the room. Do you guys have any guesses as to who it is?
Palomar.
The correct answer is San Diego.
San Diego. Oh,
yeah. Gianni.
It is the San Diego.
Is Palomar even a town in California?
No, but I think it is a mountain. Now, it is the San Diego Jam or the San Diego Knot. Where does that leave us, Phil?
Spencer, I got to point out that score? I could not have tied that for you.
This leaves us with a five-way tie between Brody, Dustin, Hayden, Giannis, and Mark.
Wow.
Game on,
dude,
suckers.
This is never
Hold
happened.
On, Steve's not in it?
No, because I was too busy talking.
This is getting
not
crazy.
Not listening to the question.
This is getting crazy.
Okay, repeat one more time. Who
for
is
you
left?
For you at home, Steve is taking off his earphones.
He's walking out.
Sweat
no,
running
I'm
down
my
his
own
temples.
Worst enemy, man. I'm my own worst enemy. I just need to focus on playing and not try to play Spencer's game too, man.
One more time. Who do we got going to the tiebreaker?
Brody, Dustin, Hayden, Giannis, and Mark.
Incredible. Never been done before
I'm
in trivia.
Dustin, big time.
Phil, do we have a tiebreaker sounder?
You know, Spencer, we will when it airs.
Oh, okay.
Tiebreaker.
If you ain't first, you're last.
I mean, that doesn't make any sense at all. You're first, you're last. You can be second. You can be third, fourth. Hell, you can be fifth.
The topic for the tiebreaker is hunting. The heaviest turkey in NWTF's record books was killed by David Cody Guess in Kentucky in 2015. How much did it weigh? The heaviest turkey
to the nearest one.
So the way you will write your answer is point something. So you'd write 5.5. Not 5 pounds and 8 ounces.
Way
you'd write
bigger
5.5.
So I got it right, 62.0.
Yes. Again, the heaviest turkey in NWTF's record books. Now they go to two decimal places. So write your answer to do two decimal places. Killed in Kentucky in 2015. How much did it weigh? We may have Mark take a victory on his first ever episode. We may have Dustin, who is representing every trivia guest that's ever joined us, who has never won, taking a victory.
Hey,
Brody's an old head. That wouldn't be very interesting if he won. Hayden
be
has never won
me.
Either. And Giannis, who would be going for his third victory.
Hey, did Tommy Edson already come on and play?
No, he hasn't been here yet. According to him, he wins every game.
Does everybody have
I'm
an answer?
I'm waiting for you, Tommy. I do.
That was
when I played at home.
Pulled it out of the hat.
Go ahead and reveal your answers.
Ooh, cow.
We have Hayden saying 31.61 pounds. Dustin saying 37.86. Brody saying 39.25. Mark saying 32.25. Giannis saying 39. Now, one of you is within a pound.
Not?
Oh, way closer to a pound.
Just because I'm not in it? You're not counting it?
Hold up your answers one more time here. Let me see them. Somebody is within 0.2 of the correct answer.
Wow.
Steve, who do you think it is?
Yanni.
You think it's Yanni? And the winner is Dustin.
Oh,
the correct answer was 37.61.
Unbelievable.
He was damn near on the nose. Oh, well done, Dustin. The man can sing, he can kill big deer, and he's damn smart.
Dude,
how do you
all
think I passed high school? Guessing.
Now, Dustin, our winner gets to choose where the $500 donation from Meat Eater will go. So who are you going to give
you
to?
You can pick outside of that, too.
I can.
As long as they're involved in wildlife conservation.
Well, shoot, we'll just do the National Deer Association.
Oh, that's right. That's great.
There you go.
How's that?
That is
unbelievable
perfect.
Game, man. Unbelievable game.
Well played. Well
I about done. Put 40-something, but I was like, let's go 30-something.
That was well a phenomenal game. That was a great
you
performance.
Know, that was a lot of pressure, but as we heard from the earlier podcast, Dustin is comfortable in high-pressure situations.
Yeah, and listen, right.
big moment.
And he was playing across a pretty big variety of subject matters there.
I was nervous.
That was.
Yeah.
Would you like to replace Giannis up there?
Yes.
And this Thank is, you. It's a stacked field that he's playing against. Oh, it's not like he's got Clay Newcomb and, you know, whoever else in here.
Whatever other dumb birds we know.
There we go.
There oh, guess.
Well done.
Well done, Dustin.
You know what? Do us a quick favor. Throw your initials on the back of that guess.
That's
button.
What I'm ordered.
We should do that. Yeah.
You need a
should
sharp.
We,
grab a
can
sharp.
I make, can we make this the Huff Buck now?
Need space for other people, though.
Well done, Dustin. Thank you for joining us, Mark. Thanks for coming. Join us next time on another round of Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Well, Dustin won.
Thanks, Spencer.
Appreciate it.
That was a phenomenal performance, Dustin. I'm very deeply impressed, man.
That's even more impressive.
Come in cold off the street, dude.
Come in from South.
Not even know what it is that's going on. Man.
Anybody can shoot a world record.
Huh? I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude's got it all, man.
Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate Batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate Batteries. I use Interstate Batteries in my boats. I use Interstate Batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. This show is sponsored in part by BetterHelp. It is a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that they need and that meets them where they are and helps them get through challenges. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible. It's simple to use. You can connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com.